Welcome to our service tonight in Toronto, Canada. You're viewing our service online. We want you to know you're very welcome. And of course, to those folks who are in our congregation tonight for this evening service. We're going to start with really a prayer, channels only, Blessed Master. And it's number 566. If you are using one of our hymnals, let's stand please as we worship. Let's unite our hearts, please, in prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we pray tonight as we come into thy holy presence that this theme we have been singing about would be the very heartbeat of our soul. Lord, our lives would be on the altar of sacrifice for service, as Romans 12 and 1 speaks to us of our reasonable service unto our God, a living sacrifice, that which is given over to the cause of our God, so that we would be really, Lord, emptied of ourselves, sanctified, and meet for our Master's use. Lord, take us, we pray tonight. Make use of us in our everyday operation. Whether it is to those we meet in the school, those we meet in a workplace situation, out in the stores, wherever we might be, Lord, on the sidewalk in front of our homes, people walking by, whatever the case is, our desire would be, Father, that we would reflect the beauty and the love of Christ, that they would know and see by our very demeanor, by our actions, by our words, that those people, that person, there's something different about them. And Lord, that's what we want. We want others to know that we have been with Jesus. And so answer this prayer in our lives, we pray tonight. And Lord, we know that there are many weighed down under burdens, perhaps that cannot be shared with too many. We pray that those burdens would be lifted at Calvary, for Jesus is very near. Teach us, Lord, what it means to cast our care upon the Savior, for we know that He cares for us. Father, we remember tonight those in our fellowship that have special need. We pray again tonight for our brother Sam. Remember Ron. Remember Dr. McClellan tonight. We pray, Lord, that You would be with our sister Ruth Slade and all the other ones that are on our prayer list. Lord, we hold all of these ones up to Thee in prayer, along with the others, Mark and Kim, all these ones, Father, that need Your immediate touch. Come near and bless the families. Bless those who are struggling with spiritual concerns and problems. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, household salvation. Speak to those within close proximity to each one of us that do not know the Savior. And Lord, let our testimony, when words have been silent, because the words have been spoken. And now, Lord, may it be the very radiance of Christ that would be our testimony, that would be the advertisement, that would be the one thing that would show and draw men and women, young people to Christ. Lord, hear this, our prayer today. Unite us in the joy and blessing and power of the Spirit of God in our own lives. Remember, Lord, we pray our sister congregations. We think of all our ministers that are preaching the gospel. We think, Lord, of the upcoming presbytery meetings of Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, as we will be gathered virtually, and we ask, Lord, to go before us and to bless all the preparations that have been made. And we pray there would be blessing upon those who would bring the word, and in our times of prayer, and Father, in the business meetings, and all things that have to be accomplished. We think of all congregations and ministers and elders and deacons, and those that have great need. Lord, supply that need abundantly, we pray. Oh, be with us now. We know that in our land, in our nations, there are many troubles. There are many problems boiling over, it seems, at every point. Lord, we pray, we know the gospel is the only real answer to the need of the human heart and the human condition. And so what we're asking for tonight, Lord, is to help our testimony and the testimony of every other faithful child of God, believers from many different walks and places. Lord, use our testimonies across the nations to bring honor and glory to Jesus our Lord, and that His kingdom might be extended far and wide. Lord, we're not unmindful to pray for our school, thankful for the great ministry You've given to us. And we pray that blessing would be upon our staff, our students, all of the administration, that every day the Lord would be very real in the hallways, in the classrooms, in the parking lot, as people come and go. Keep everyone safe, we pray. So Lord, hear this, our prayer tonight. Continue with us now in our worship. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. A prayer again this evening. We ask of the Lord, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Number 193. Let's stand to sing. reading that we have tonight is going to be a selected one. I have four different portions and really just a verse or two from each one. So if you want to make a note of them, you could follow a little bit later on. But I encourage you just to listen carefully as we read from, first of all, Luke chapter 11 and verses 9 to 13, and then in the book of Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians. First of all, Luke 11, verse 9. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Romans 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Galatians 5. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Ephesians 5:18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." May God bless His Word to us tonight as we have read these various verses. Welcome again to the house of God. And if you're viewing our service for the first time tonight, or maybe you're visiting our service again, we want you to know you're very, very welcome in the Savior's precious name. It was good to see folks in the service this morning, and some perhaps for the first time, and others that have returned again. It's always a blessing to see and welcome those in the place of prayer and under the worship of God and in the reading and preaching of His Word. Let me remind you, please, of some important announcements tonight and to ask for your special prayer. I mentioned this morning Dr. Mark Allison, Sister Kim Wagner, they are really needing your prayers for God's presence and help in their lives. We have also in our own congregation several sick ones and those that are just under the weather. I know Dr. McClellan would appreciate your prayers at this time for the Lord's hand to be upon him. And our sister Ruth Slade, we want to remember her, please, very much in our prayers, and others on our sick list, that God would be very near to them. I want to say a word of thanks to the men who were in the grounds yesterday, on the grounds yesterday, doing work on the little portable roof, the new awning canopy that we have there. I much appreciated those who came and were serving the Lord in that way. And then you'll notice the lovely harvest decorations that we have in the church at this time. I say a word of thanks to our sister Lori and to her girls, and also to Sharon for the time they put in to make the house of the Lord look well. Please remember the presbytery meetings that I announced this morning, going to be held Tuesday and Wednesday of this week from 1 o'clock to about 6 o'clock or so, and meeting much your prayers as we meet virtually for the first time. And do pray for Brother Jonathan McAnally, as he will be overseeing, administering that. You know, when you do a good job at something, that word spreads around. And so it is spread to the moderator and others in the presbytery. And so they asked our brother if he would help to oversee this And that's his responsibility Tuesday and Wednesday, and I know he would appreciate your prayers. We'll continue our prayer meeting via Zoom Wednesday evening at 7:30, and do please remember all of these services before the Lord. Last Wednesday was the first for us again. We had our annual general meeting, and where all the reports were heard, and first time it was done this way, and it was a blessing. As a matter of fact, one brother went out this morning and said, I really enjoyed the meeting last Wednesday. It was good. And if you did not receive a copy of the financial report, those are online. They can be mailed to you. You could see our brother George, or rather emailed, and you could get a copy here as well. If you want to speak to our brother at the end of the service, he'll make sure that you get a copy of that report. Those are all the announcements we have at this time. We're going to sing again, please, number 668, Speak, Lord, in the Stillness. Speak, dear Lord, to me. Sing the opening verse again, please, as we prepare our hearts for the Word of God tonight. Let's sing the first verse. Certainly is a prayer that I offer to the Lord. And again tonight, same thing. You know, I think the words of the second verse where the prayer was, calm the storms within me, drive away the fears. That's not an unreasonable thing for every Christian to pray. And you know, I sense the reality of it. Folks, daily in our lives, and certainly in the times we're living in, so much upheaval, so much going on. And Christians are not immune from these fears, these concerns. They are real. And you wonder, what's going to be about tomorrow, Lord? Where are our governments going to be? Where are those in authority going to be? And where's the world going? You know, friends, when we don't have a good answer for those things ourselves, it's so important for us to just say, Lord, calm my heart. Still those fears and let us rest in the Lord. And be of good courage, for He shall strengthen our hearts, every one that waits upon the Lord. Turning, please, to the book of 1 Kings tonight. 1 Kings chapter 2, reading from verse 9 to 11. 2 Kings chapter 2. It came to pass, when they were gone over Jordan, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Let's ask the Lord's help, please, as we come now to His Word. Father, calm our fears tonight, settle our hearts, I pray. And I'm asking, Lord, for that necessary anointing of the Holy Spirit, the unction from heaven to speak clearly the Word of God. And Lord, help us to understand. Help us to take in. Help us to glorify the Lord Jesus in all our lives. Hear this prayer tonight and write the Word of God upon our hearts, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The call of God upon Elisha's life was unique, for God had a special work for him to do. There is not one mold that God has for those called into His service, because each time, each work requires, well, particular detail. What is common is that surrender to that will, the sovereign plan of God, is necessary. And that we might be in the center of that will according to God's divine counsel, known to us as He reveals it, unknown many times for the bridges that are ahead that we have to cross. We know Elisha is introduced to us in 1 Kings 19, and he has a name tag. Yes, his name means, My God is Salvation. A name given, undoubtedly, by God-fearing parents with a great hope of protection and provision in the life of their son, equipping him for the generation that he was to witness in, and a godless one at that. Don't forget where Israel was in the life of Ahab. Don't forget about Jezebel. Don't forget about the whole nation that it seemed to turn over to the worship of Baal. Yes, Elisha was born into that environment, in that time frame. So when Elijah finds him, he's in a field working with his hands, plowing. But God's sovereign purpose for this man, well, it was about to be revealed when Elijah cast his mantle over his shoulder, almost like it was dusted past him, and that was indicative of the call of God. I wonder if it was a surprise to Elisha. Had the Lord been working in his heart up to that point? Well, we really don't know. But we know this, that when God called him, he was hard at work at the position that he had to fulfill then. The Lord is pleased to take those who are about hard work in order to be about the Master's work, because we know that there is, well, a rolling up of the sleeves, as we sometimes use as a picture, to get at the work that's required. We also know that God calls people from different backgrounds, from all walks of life. Doesn't matter where they come from or what they were doing. The point is this, that the surrender of a career, the surrender of a family business, the surrender of a profession that was being followed was necessary. And so for Elisha, there was no turning back. What was in front of him? Well, there were going to be many years. He had to take over from the prophet Elijah. But there were interim time periods that he followed after God's servant. As a matter of fact, he really was the servant of Elijah. And he walked by this man of faith. He learned from him. He studied him. He would have been instructed by him. And yes, he was going to take over that position. But you know, for this young servant of God, he had really burned what was behind him of the bridges. And it meant there was no turning back. He was determined that the call of God on him meant, I'm going ahead, I'm not going backward. And so it meant a farewell to his parents, a farewell to certainly his occupation. It didn't mean that he was callous about those things, no, not at all. It meant that he took care to go back and say farewell to his parents, whom he loved dearly, I'm certain, to provide a feast, a time of celebration. But when he sacrificed, or we could say offered, the oxen, he burned the yoke with them. He burned all of the other things that went along with those oxen. There was a sense of finality in that. Yes, friends, the call of God means going ahead and not going back. But now the time for Elijah to be taken had come. And the final steps that they took together. You'll remember a few weeks ago we thought from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho to the River Jordan, and then across Jordan by a miracle that God enabled Elijah to do. All of these steps, they were tests. They were tests in the life of Elisha. Was he going to follow on with that commitment? Was he going to go through with it all? Each time when Elijah said to him, no, don't come any further. God's told me to go here. You stay there. And he said, no, I am not staying there. I'm coming with you. I'm going to stay with you right to the end. Yes, they were tests of devotion to his master. Oh, but I suggest to you a devotion to a higher master. That's where Elisha's heart was. And just before they come to be parted, the prophet says to his young servant, what can I do for you, Elisha, before I am taken away? What final blessing do you want? and Elisha's request, taken from this ninth verse of 2 Kings chapter 2, the final phrase. He said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Here I suggest to you is the evidence of a true man of God. Here is the evidence of a true man of God. And there are some things that we will conclude from his prayer, his request, and those things I want us to think about tonight. In the first place, Elisha knew his limitation. Elisha knew his limitation. What did he mean by such a request as this, a double portion of thy spirit? Well, some have suggested that he wanted a double portion that belonged to the firstborn. And that goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21. And that was what was rightfully belonging to a firstborn in the family. They would receive an extra portion. You could say a double or twice the portion that was going to be divided up to the rest in the family. And some would say, that doesn't seem altogether fair. Well, you may take that up with the Lord if you like, but that's just what the Lord wrote in His Word. And that was what is part of the Old Testament makeup of His people as God dealt with them. So some think that Elisha was asking for a double portion from the rest of the sons of the prophets in order for him to fulfill his calling. Ah, but friends, I rather think it's something much different than that. I rather think that Elisha, when comparing himself to the great prophet of God and all that Elijah had done and what he had witnessed, he realized in himself, "How much, Lord, do I lack from what I see in this man of God that I have followed all these years?" And he needed an abundance of what Elijah had in order even to come close to fulfilling the calling of God that was upon him. He looked in the mirror in a sense and said, "Lord, I'm so empty. I'm so limited in my resources. Whatever Elijah had, I need more in order for myself to be brought. Do I need two portions? Lord, I need so much to be brought even to the starting point. And then I need more to be brought to accomplish your will in my life, the calling that you have set upon me." Why else do you think Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit? Because he knew who he was. He knew, I suggest to you tonight, my friend, where he had come from. He knew his limitations, both practically and spiritually. You know something? He was not too proud to acknowledge his own need. You know, one of the greatest problems in the work of God, one of the greatest difficulties in people going forward in fulfilling the call of God is pride in the heart. We are all creatures of pride, and we don't like to admit it. Pride in the work of the Lord has so often hindered that work from going forward, where we want either our own way, or we think too highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and we feel that we have the equipment that is needed. And boy, when we come forward, we are just going to be the thing that's going to just answer the need of everyone around. And friend, that is the absolute worst thought that we could have. And I say to you that Elisha did not have such a thought in his mind. I say to you, he knew his limitations, and that's why he came to pray this final prayer, his final request, that God would use to give him through his servant Elijah. He did not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, realizing who we are and our own limitations is a very important step, because what that will do in a believer's life, it will set us in the right place to say, Lord, I know that I am nothing, and I know that whatever I have been given by the Lord. That's the very thing that the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, why do you take it upon yourselves to boast as if you are something in yourself? Or you think you have developed that within? Everything you have has been received by another. In other words, God has given to us our blessings. What makes us think that we should, well, present them to the Lord? What makes us think that we should take it upon ourselves? No, friend. No, we acknowledge, and we do well to stand in the very place where Elisha stood. He knew his limitation before God, and that is why, and the evidence of being a man of God. Please notice in the second place that he placed spiritual blessings above all else. He placed spiritual blessings above all else. He perceived that essential blessing in his life was a spiritual blessing. He perceived that. And friend, this is important for us. I don't want us to miss this. For in the prayer, he said, thy spirit upon me. Or it was the spirit that was at work in Elijah. He wasn't just saying this. He wasn't just saying, wow, Elijah is a real good guy. I really like his manner. I really like the way he operates. I really like, there's something about this man that I would wish would be in me. He could have said something similar to that, I suppose, if he was reflecting on how he admired the man. But no. No, it was much more than that. When he is praying for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, he is asking for the Spirit of God to be upon him. That was at the very root of it. He perceived that essential blessing was necessary in his life. Do you know what he saw? He saw the real worth of that blessing. Matthew Henry commented, those are best prepared for spiritual blessings that are most sensible of their worth and their own unworthiness to receive them. Friends, think about that for a moment. Do we perceive the essential nature of the Spirit's blessing upon our lives? You know, many times I think we are rather ignorant of that. I think there are many times where we are just sailing through life, making it on our own, going our own way, fueling our fire by what we have of our own resources, and thinking that, well, we're doing okay so far. We've got down the road of life not too bad. Why can't we just continue on going? But Elisha saw something more. Elisha perceived there was something of greater value, something of more real worth in life. And so what he saw upon the life of Elijah was the Spirit of God's power upon him, and he perceived, that's something I need. That is something that I want. And so when he had this final request, what was it that he asked for? Well, I'll tell you what he didn't ask for. He didn't ask for power to be able to command the people of God. He didn't ask for power to be able to annihilate the wickedness that was in Israel in his day. He didn't ask for wealth or any elements of fame. No, friend. He perceived there was something greater for him. And I say to you tonight that this is the mark of a true man of God. It's the mark of a true woman of God. What is at the very heart and core of what you perceive to be valuable in life? Oh, friend, if it's not that which comes from the Lord, if it's not His Spirit that must be upon us, then we will miss out. And I say to you that life and spiritual power will pass by. And we will trundle along. We will just keep chugging through. But when we perceive our own unworthiness to receive this great and essential blessing, we're at a very important point in our Christian walk and of our fellowship with the Lord. We're at the place where Elijah was, where he saw something of great value. And he realized that unless this is perceived in my heart, then I'm not even at the place of beginning. I'm talking to Christians tonight. I'm talking to you, friend, if you have already settled that matter of your own heart with God and you're saved. But it may well be that this evening you are not even a believer. You do not know the Lord. In your heart, you have not settled that great question. And I would say to you tonight, you're not even at the starting point where Elisha was. You don't know Him. You don't know the Lord. But I say, why not? What has delayed? Why have you put off this? It's so vital, friend, that you come to know your sins have been forgiven, that you have peace with God in your heart, that you can get to the point where your life will have real meaning and value of service to the Master. That's what's important. Maybe you've tuned in tonight on your computer and you've been kind of surfing around. You don't know why you've tuned in tonight, and I hope and pray that you will stay connected, because this is a vital thing for you to consider. Are you right with God? Are you saved tonight? Maybe you've been attending a church And maybe it's been a Reformed church. Maybe you have been connected with some congregation or people that talks about the 5 points. And you can name them all and list those 5 points of Calvinism. But maybe, friend, in your heart tonight, you're empty. And you don't have peace with God. The reason for that, you're not saved. You've never come to simply rest and repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Oh, how important that is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the hope that we have been given. That's the great assurance. And when you come to taste and see that the Lord is good, then you will come to where Elisha is, and you'll begin to grasp the truth of the importance of knowing the Spirit's power in your life. But I say to you, not only did Elisha perceive that essential blessing, but he pursued it. He didn't just think about it in a theoretical way. He didn't just say, yeah, that's a good thing. That's an important thing. And then that's all it was. It just stayed there. Didn't go any further. No, there had to be something more. He had to pursue that blessing. And so when he was asked by Elijah, do you have a final prayer request? Is there something of a blessing I can give you? Yes, a double portion of thy Spirit would be upon me. He was wanting that. He needed that in his life. The aspiration, the desire of Elisha for higher things, it only revealed his heart. It's who he was. It's what he wanted from the Lord. Spirit of God poured out in abundance upon his life. Friend, let me ask you tonight, what makes you tick? As the saying goes, what makes you function or operate? Well, it will be revealed under pressure, and it will be revealed under seeking pleasure, those two areas. When you're under pressure, who you really are will come out. And what you desire in seeking pleasure in your life, and some things are certainly legitimate and good, but they may well be under the category of pleasure that's a bit more like the tail that's wagging the dog. It's consuming a lot in your life of what you desire, where you want to go, what you want to do, who you want to be with. Those things are important to think about. But what is it that we count valuable and as a priority in our lives? Is it the pursuit of spiritual things in the first place? The heart will reveal it. And I'll tell you something, it cannot be hidden. You cannot hide that desire in your life. And you would say, well, would a spiritual person want to hide it? No, I don't think they would. But I don't think they're trying to advertise it either. Because if that's the case, there's something of a problem maybe with pride at the very root of it all, that we're trying to boast that, oh, I'm a spiritual person because I'm seeking spiritual things. Be careful about that. That is not what we're talking about here. And that is not at all what Elisha was after. The very fact that he desired this, it really showed at the very core of his being, in the depths of his spirit, this is what I want, because this I know is what I need. Bring me up to the starting point of where Elijah is, and then, Lord, I need so much more to do anything near what this man has been able to accomplish by your Spirit. Arthur Pink, in his commentary on the life of Elisha, he wrote this: "The work to which he was called involved heavy responsibilities and the facing of grave dangers. And for the discharge of his duties, he needed to be equipped with spiritual power. That is what every servant of God needs. Above everything else, it is to be endued with power from on high." He said, "The most splendid faculties, the ablest intellect, the richest acquirements count for nothing unless they be energized by the Holy One." Paul tells us in Corinthians that not many mighty are called, not many noble, not many that have great powers physically, intellectually, emotionally speaking. But he goes on to say the Lord has delighted. He has called upon those who are weak, those who are the least, to confound the mighty. And so it's not saying that there are not those who are mighty and exalted ones and lifted up ones in the kingdom of God, for the Lord does enable and give those gifts to certain and to a few, but not to many. Not many. For most of us are very limited, very weak, very ordinary people, common laborers, if you like. But it's the Lord's pleasure to make use of His people. Sometimes, a little word of caution here, sometimes it's a danger in this internet age that we're in, when you have speakers that are very, very gifted, and they speak in many conferences all over the place, and online you can go and find all the list of all the conference speakers and the great men, and you can just indulge yourself with all the greatest speaking and preaching. And I don't say not to do that, but there's a little caution. And the caution would be this, because when people do that and they come back to their ordinary church, their ordinary minister, and they find out, oh, but he's not as good as that guy there. He doesn't speak as well as that guy. He can't communicate like the others. It's true. But beware that we don't always look to be entertained, because that's sometimes what it is. It's entertainment by seeing a variety of great preachers and speakers. And yes, the Lord has blessed certain with that ability. But let us be careful that we are seeking for spiritual blessing and not just to be tantalized with how great homiletically this person can take a text apart and be able to put it together and preach a great message. We need to always be understanding and seeing there is something that is above, and that is seeking for ourselves, seeking to be used by God and those spiritual blessings that are above all else. It proves that this man was truly a man of God, and it will prove what we are in ourselves. Finally, I leave with you this. Very simply and with great happiness, God answered his prayer. And even if we were not shown how God answered his prayer, I would say to you with authority, God answered his prayer, because the Lord was glorified in such a request. When Solomon was asked by the Lord, "What do you want? What do you need?" And when Solomon asked for wisdom to guide and direct so great a people of the people of God, the Lord gave him that. Plus, he gave him many things beyond that. And when a person asks for things that honor God and bring the Lord Jesus Christ into the focal point of attention, then, my friend, I say to you, the Lord will answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer abundantly for you. Elijah said that Elisha had asked a hard thing. I don't know about you, but I've puzzled over that for a long time when I've read it in the past. Why would Elijah say that Elisha had asked a hard thing? Wouldn't that be really a good thing? Wouldn't it be a very blessed thing? How could it be said to be a hard thing? You will notice if you have a margin in your Bible that the translators gave another option of how that phrase could be translated, and it's like this. Thou hast done hard in asking. Thou hast asked a hard thing, but you have done hard in asking. Now, it's not that this was a hard thing for the Lord to answer. We know that's not the case. There's something different here. And I believe it's that as Elisha sought for this blessing, there would be a cost connected with it. And it would bring him into hard situations. It would mean great responsibility. It would mean for this man of God, you're going to be walking a fine line. It's not going to be easy for you, Elisha. If God grants you what you're asking, things are going to be different in your life, different from what you have ever known before. Hard situations, a difficult line to walk. Why would that be, friend? Because, you see, the closer that you and I come to the Lord, the more we are confronted with His holiness and our sinfulness. And when that faces a man, we are undone. We're like Isaiah that came before the glory of God. What happened to him? He fell down on his face and he said, I am undone. I'm unraveled. And that, my friend, is where God would put us and have us so that He might take all of our unraveled strings and gather them all together and tie them up and use them as a rope, as a cable, to fulfill the great purpose of drawing men out of danger and evil, and using that cable of God's providence in our lives, wound up by the Spirit of God and useful to carry a heavy load, a heavy burden. Yes. You see, when the Lord comes into our lives, it's a bit like someone who moves into your house or your space. And if they come in with their decorating ideas, they may be a bit different than yours. And they might bring in a whole lot of their own furniture. Well, what happens when they bring in their furniture? It might be that your furniture, which has got to be moved out or moved around. And when we say to the Lord in our life, Lord, I want Your Spirit to take control of my life, He answers that prayer. The Lord will come in with His furniture and He will move our stuff out, or at least move it away and around that we didn't maybe like too much. Some things that you and I hold dear, they might have to be placed by the curb and to go out in the recycling bin, to go out in the garbage. Now, I mentioned last week that there is really no sacrifice in serving God. And it needs to be qualified, because I mentioned about the life of David Livingstone. And he said that when a person went to him and said, "Oh, you've made such a sacrifice, Mr. Livingston, going to Africa and serving for all these years and trekking in the wilderness with all of the everything." And Livingston said, "Well, I've not made any sacrifice for God at all." What did he mean by that? He meant, my friends, and you can read it in his own account, but he meant that compared with the great sacrifice that my Savior has made for me, whatever I give to the Lord is nothing compared to that. It was the same theme that C.T. Studd said. And my dear friends, you see, the path of service to God, whereby we come and present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, it will seem as nothing in light of the great mercies and blessings we have received from Him. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "It is our reasonable service." Because God never asks us anything that's unreasonable. Compare eternity with anything we can do on this life, on this earth. No, friend. The path of spiritual proximity to God, it necessarily means less of the world and less of ourselves, which in reality is nothing to give up compared to the rich blessings of communion with our God and of His power in our lives to serve Him. The Lord has said, Jeremiah 29, "Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Are we in that place of seeking the Lord with all our heart tonight? You know, in conclusion, I think, and I want to sing this hymn in closing. Jonathan, you don't have that up. Go for a closer walk with God, if you could get that prepared. And I'm thinking about a closer walk with God, that both in our minds, that we would be filled with thoughts of Christ, and that our actions would convey a Spirit-filled life. And when we are saying those things, what are we asking for? Well, I would say to you that we're asking for the same thing that Elisha did. "Lord, that I might know a double portion of the Spirit of God in my life, an abundance of the Spirit working in and through me, so that we would be conformed to Him." Let's sing that hymn, please, in closing. I'm not sure the number of it right offhand, but... Pardon? 472. Thank you, Dana. 472 for any folks online who are following along. Let's stand, please, to sing. So shall my walk be close with God, serene and calm my frame. So pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. Father, we pray tonight that the Word of God would be written on our hearts. The prayer that Elisha prayed, yes, we would take to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all other things will be added unto us. We say yes to that. He shall seek me and find me. You shall search for me with all your heart. Lord, give us, we pray, true and full heart religion. Save us from making a game or pretending in any way. Lord, we want to know and perceive the true value and the real weight of these spiritual matters. Lord, work in us. We know we're feeble and we're frail. We fail so often. And Lord, all we can say is whatever we are and whatever we have been able to give and present to the Lord, take, use it, sanctify it, and Father, build us up and take us on. Bless this congregation. Bless our ministry. Fill us with the Spirit of God and power so that we may go forward conquering and to conquer. Lord, make us a witness in our city, in our province, in our nation. Lord, make use of us, we pray. Part us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing on us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.